Welcome back to another great episode of Comedians in Bed, where comedians can be comedians. And I don't really know what that means, but that just sounds like something you should say on a podcast. Man, I have another great guest with us here today. As always, you know, I got to give a great introduction, man. This guy is the king of Newark. And if you don't know what Newark I'm talking about, I'm not talking about New Jersey. We're talking about the real Newark, okay, right here in Ohio. Where there's needles everywhere, okay? But there's bad women too. Not bad as in bad, but like bad as in they look good. The baddest women in Ohio are in Newark. And the king of comedy has been doing his thing. The king of entertainment, all right? He's putting Newark on the map. He's putting Newark on his back. And Newark is finally on the map. And it's because of our next guest right here that we have, Destin Richardson, everybody. Give it up. For Destin Richardson.
What's going on? You did not lie, man. That was one hell of an introduction.
Only for the king.
That's yeah. I say I was like rose petals. Like I felt like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America with that.
Well, I mean, you really are the king, man. Every all things of entertainment that I know of so far. Yeah. I don't really keep up with Newark, but. What I do see, you're doing the thing out there, man. You're at least providing some entertainment, man. You love Newark. Are you born and raised in Newark?
Technically, I was born in Zanesville, which is like the worst, like the sluttier cousin of Newark. But then raised in Newark. I mean, I spent a year in Pittsburgh when I was a little kid, and then a year at Bowling Green. But other than that, Newark till the day I die.
Oh my gosh, man. How is growing up in Newark? It seems now that I think about it, it actually makes sense as to why you're a creative, because there's nothing really there.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to make your own way out here. Other than that, it's like, all right, you wanna hang out in the Walmart parking lot or do you wanna hang out in the Kroger parking lot? You know, that's what there is. You wanna go to the truck pool. Yeah. Yeah, I'll say a typical weekend in Newark is burnouts doing burnouts in parking lots. So I had to not do that. I had to make something of myself. So
yeah. What is it? I mean, I've only been to Newark like probably like three times.
Yeah, and two of them were because of me. So.
Yeah, like I don't know, it's not from the outside looking in, it's not bad. It definitely looked a little sketchy. Like you gotta look behind your shoulders a little bit, but it definitely seemed like a very tight niche community. Is that what it is?
It's Newark, it's technically I had to look this up too. It is like the 15th most populated city in Ohio. Now 9 of those cities were all different parts of Cleveland, but yeah, and some Cincinnati, a little bit of Columbus, but no. So Newark, the way I describe it is, it's too big to be a small town, but it's too small to be a big city. It is kind of like right in that little middle ground. Like I know a lot of people, but I don't know the whole town. They know me because I'm the king, bitch. But like there's some things to do. I mean, we have bowling alleys, we have mini golf, we got crack, we got we have unprotected sex, day drinking, you know, the classics, but yeah.
No, seriously, that seems like the only thing to do. I love when I do come down there, because I know I can come right back. But other than that though, how is like, I always wonder, like, a small town. Like, I mean, the only small town I ever lived in was, like, Youngstown, right? So, yeah. But that's when I was in college, so people was coming from all over. Like, you in Newark, so, like, how's the, like, dating scene down there? Like, if it's, like, once you hump one person, you didn't hump everybody? Is it that type of deal?
I almost don't want to think about my Eskimo brothers and sisters. Eskimo cousins or whatnot, but no, the dating scene here lately, it's been kind of this has been my dating scene. Jill, JILL, you know. But I do not have Phoenix energy. it kind of sucks. I mean, it's one of those, not to sound like creepy or anything, but it's like, if you want to date a girl that doesn't have a kid, you have to get them off the graduation ramp. If you want them without a kid, and even then, you'll still have the occasional, like, underneath that robe, she's got one, you know, feeding on the left. And a lot of single moms out here, a lot of older women, like, that's the thing I always tell people, it's like, yeah, I love cougars. It's like, because, well, I have to love cougars. Otherwise, I'm not loving anybody. So,
do you ever think about leaving, or you want to stay there?
No. I am eventually going to leave the throne of Newark. Right now, my sights are on Chicago, but I mean, I could go New York City or maybe even Atlanta. I've had enough people tell me that Austin's kind of blown up a little too much lately. It's, you know, the prices have skyrocketed and all that, and traffic's pretty terrible in all major cities, but like Chicago and New York City, they at least have like really good, like, you know, like public rail systems and like good public transportation. So
why Chicago at the number one spot?
Because New York City makes me a little claustrophobic and I hate hot weather. So Chicago's the next big city that has some cold weather. I've been to Chicago a couple of times in my life, and I've loved it every single time. They have like the naval base, like kind of like north of Chicago. I had a cousin; she graduated from the Navy there. We went up there, spent a whole week. Yeah, it's a great time. You know, just stay to like north, west, or east of Chicago, and you're fine. Don't go south.
That's what's up, man. Do you think you'll be like afraid when you leave Newark, or you'll think you'll be like relieved?
I mean, definitely just a little bit of both. Just because, like, you know, I am so familiar with the place, but that's what makes me excited to get familiar and learn a new place. And I learned pretty quickly. If I've ever spent like 2 or 3 days in the city, I already know like kind of like basic, like, part of town. I know like what highway to get on. Like, I'm pretty quick at stuff like that. But I was like looking into the Chicago area, like where I might want to like live, looking at like the clubs, any, you know, business opportunities. But I was looking at like the real estate around there, and I had it kind of like set. I kind of had like a game plan of moving to Whiting, Indiana, which is the town like right on the border of Illinois and Indiana, mostly because it's cheaper in Indiana. Taxes and cost of living is like way down from Illinois. And I am a very late person by nature. I operate on Destin Standard Time because I can't say the other kind of time, but for very legal reasons. But I was like, I know there's like a time zone difference between Indiana and Illinois. So I was like, you know, I get done with work in Indiana, I get on the road by like 4:15, 4:30. I go over into Illinois, boom, 3:30. I would, in theory, never be late to a gig. Don't worry, I'll still find a way to be late to a gig. But I would have a worse excuse. But I also looked into it, and apparently there are like 4 or 5 counties on the west part of Indiana that operate on Illinois time zone. So that part of my plan kind of went out the window. But yeah, I mean, I looked into it. It's not going to be for another 2 or 3 years. I'm still going to hold it down in my kingdom until then.
Why? I mean, you put a lot of great shows on and newer. Why is that feel like something? Okay, like this is an avenue I could. Like, there's a hole in the market, I can do this, or was it just like maybe out of boredom? Like, what made you put on these great shows that you do in Newark?
Well, yeah, it was more the idea of seeing a market that wasn't getting tapped a lot, because like in like big cities like in Columbus and Cleveland and Cincinnati, you know, there's more people, but there's more competition for those people. Mm-hmm. Whereas out in Newark, it's only a 40-minute drive, 36 if you ain't a bitch. It's only a 40-minute drive from Columbus, so it's still doable, but it's just enough to scare some people away. So, like, yeah, there's not as big of a market, but I pretty much am, like, the one guy for that market. So it's been nice, but I mean, it's I've been doing shows out here for probably 2 years now, like steady ever since COVID let up.
So, like, with doing those shows, like, anybody else listening to this that might be in a small town, like, how did you start that up? And not only how did you start that up, but how has the scene grown from when you started it up to, like, now?
So when I got the idea of, like, hey, I want to, like, produce, like, legit shows, I don't want to, like, when we were opening up from COVID, obviously most of Newark was still under the belief that COVID's not real. It's from the government. It's a, you know, it's a hoax, all those kind of people. And so Newark was like one of the first places in the greater Central Ohio area to like kind of like, you know, loosen the reins a little bit as far as the whole social distancing mask thing. So I would invite Columbus Comics out and we would basically just do your, you know, glorified open mic, aka what most Columbus booked shows are. And so then once I found a good place, I found a good spot, then I worked out a deal with like the management of like, hey, if I like start charging some tickets and like we get like a door guy. So that way, because, you know, with comedy, obviously, you know, you want people that want to be there to be there, because you get your ambush comedy, so to speak, where it's like, hey, you probably don't know this, but we got like an open mic going on. So if you could stop talking, you know, they didn't plan on that, but
right.
You know, You set a principle, you set some kind of privacy, you set a ticket price. When people pay for it, they're less likely to, you know, be disruptive and to enjoy the show. So I found a good spot for that, and I worked out a deal with management, and then started selling tickets. First show sold out like a week ahead of time. Nowadays, if a show does well, I'm getting ticket sales like the day before. Like my one I got back in December, I mean, it was like pretty low numbers until the day of, and then I did my whole, hey, you procrastinators, today's the day, and then all of a sudden the tickets just flooded in. So that's just how it is nowadays. You know, people have that FOMO, that fear of missing out, and yeah, and it's just one of those, every time they come to the show, I'm like, hey, you shouldn't have waited the last second. This is what you should be afraid of missing out on, are these shows.
Are your shows, like, the talk of the town? Because, like, Newark, I mean, like, there's not too many comedy shows or comedians coming to Newark. So, like, I would think that it would be, like, are your shows, like, the talk of the town?
It's the whisper of the town, yeah. Yeah, I would say depending on what aisle of the Kroger you're in, you might hear some talk, but they do tend to draw a pretty good crowd, and I have a couple of like really steady fans that come to almost every show, but yeah, here lately, thankfully, I've been having a lot more people that haven't been to one before, so you know the word has gotten out and they're trying these shows, so. Which is what you want in comedy, because you're never going to get anywhere just playing to the same people, doing to the same bars. Like you gotta get that circle out there. So glad that that circle's already expanding through the whole city, and then just trying to get out of the county, and then out of the state, and then out of the country, and then I want to be the first comedian on the moon. I want to be the first comic to do stand up on the moon. No, it would be out of this world. Jokes like that is why some people have stopped coming to my show.
You lost your damn mind. When you get your damn mind, you call me.
So when the one question I had was like, how has the scene grown? Because after you just mentioned, like, after COVID, you was doing open mics. How has the scene grown?
So actually this year specifically, I started doing an every other Wednesday writing workshop. The idea is I want to get people in Newark to like learn how to like, you know, write their good type fives, get some good storytelling to the point where they can be doing 5, 10, 15 minute long sets. Because like as much as I do love a lot of the Columbus comics I've crossed paths with, I would love to see the day where I only have to bring in like one or two at most and not four or five, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be able to have the more sufficient scene. And so far I have a pretty steady four that are like, they've gotten really good in the last couple of weeks. Some of them are already up to like 10, 15 minutes. It's like pretty solid. That, and we've been doing this since like, I think early June. So even just half a year, and already like they have pretty passable 5 to 10 minutes. So I consider that a win. Three of them have been on like book shows in Newark that I've done the last year, and all of them did really well. One show, all of them did better than me. So that's a very proud teacher moment. That's also a big, hey, fuck you, Newark, you know, like,
yeah,
kind of thing. But no, I was happy to see it.
I really thought you were going to say, like, when Columbus Comics write more jokes. That's what I really thought you were
gonna say. Oh, that would never happen.
I was like, wow, bro, dang.
Yeah, you can't get out of that tight five that's been working since 2017. No, sir. No.
I love how has – so, like – But no, I think it's really dope that you are from Newark, and I think it's dope that you grow your own scene, but I also think it's dope that you make the commitment to come to Columbus. I know it's not that far, but like you and like Tony Watson, like he'd be driving from Toledo just to hit an open mic. Like how has this scene have like helped you, you know, for somebody that might be like not in an area where there's any open mics, but they may be close to somewhere? Like, was it worth the sacrifice, I guess?
Oh, yeah. It's always, because I mean, there's just a simple fact of, you know, going to do your craft. Like when you go to the mic and you're working out your jokes, and coming from Newark, which is again a rather conservative, you know, Republican city, that it's really good to get out into a more liberal market like Columbus and see like, oh, hey, these jokes don't work. I need to cater. So like right away when you have that option, whereas if you only stay in the big city, if you ever do get booked outside of, you know, the 270 or, you know, whatever general metropolitan area there is, then you have that. But from the other side where you're like, oh, no, these jokes about, you know, caring about people and like, you know, belief in equality and like, you know, people's rights, some places hate that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding, but you know, it's really good though to be able to get yourself into different markets from a society standpoint too, and then yeah, just get any, again with comedy, any stage time is good. Like that's the thing, you have to get your reps in, you have to you know, bust out your sets. And then there's the networking thing too. Like that's where, you know, I'll meet some comics, and like, I always try to, I've gotten pretty good lately on like seeing who actually like really cares about, you know, getting out of just the same couple bars, like someone that takes it seriously, that wants to expand their network. People I know that are like promoting the shows. Cause like nothing pisses me off more than, and this is as a producer and a comic, like both sides of me is very pissed off when people don't do any promotion of the shows. Cause the thing is like, there's that attitude of like, oh, I don't know people in this area, so why would I promote? Well, guess what? People that you know might know someone in the area. And if they see that, they will, you know, comment, hey, so-and-so, this guy's funny, he'll be in town, check him out. Like, and it takes a minute tops if you actually like want to write out like something, but it takes 10 seconds to like share a post. Like you do your part to get as many people to see you so that you can work out your stuff. Cause the more perspectives you have, the stronger of a comedian you'll be. Again, the more your network will be there, and it's just, yeah. Just any chance you can make yourself better, why would you not do it? So, yeah, get out there, do your thing, network, and try and stay off fast food on the drives back, because that's the thing. I do have that 45-minute drive.
You be getting fast food.
Oh, yeah, there's Sheets everywhere. There's Taco Bell. There's Waffle Houses. Like, that's a trap. Like, that's one thing about the comic lifestyle. You know, we're night owls, you know, by nature. And so, yeah, we got to eat a lot of, you know, greasy, fatty, salty foods because that's all there is. You're not getting no, you know, kombucha and like power green smoothie at 11:30 midnight. None of that. No, you're getting scattered, smothered, covered, and you're getting Doritos Locos Tacos. So
I'm definitely getting kombucha. I used to bring my little detox water. Everybody be like, "What's in there?" I'm like, "Yeah, bro, just things from the earth." Like,
right, right.
But nah, like my little snack, I don't be getting like fast food. I be getting like the only time I got fast food was like a couple months ago when I was from Cincinnati, and I went to Popeyes and I got some fries and a biscuit. But other than that, I make sure I get like pop and like a chip and some chips. Or like donut sticks to help me with my munchies.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be getting. I never thought about the fast food. Yeah, I could see that. What time you be getting home? So you be driving out here. Like, do you just hit like one mic or several mics? Cause.
Yeah. If I do come to Columbus now that almost every night of the week does have multiple mics, like I'll especially try and go on like Thursdays. Cause Thursdays there's what, like four or five, so that and most of them, they're all either like on like the high street area or they're all somewhere off like 71. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll always try and go if I can hit two. That's my what makes it like more worth it to me now. And because like by day I'm out walking and it's just me and myself and my voice memos on my phone, so like I'm constantly coming up with premises or even like just straight up like writing jokes out in full form. And so I'm always churning and burning material. And so once I get like 10 minutes that I want to try out, then I hit up the open mic. I'll do five at one and I'll do five at the other. I'll take like the best minute of each of those. And then the next time I'll have that work in a few new, but that's where I start, you know, really tightening it up.
So. Okay. And with hitting those open mics and tightening up the jokes, man, you went ahead and did your own thing with your special streaming on YouTube, Grown Up. How was that process? And what was like, yeah, just how was that process? Because, you know, it was new work, but you definitely want to get the word out and you do it on your own. It's just post COVID. So how was that process like?
Yeah. So when I found like my like original spot, I was doing a monthly showcase last like Saturday of every month, and I would do 15 minutes to like start the show out, and because I owed it to like my regular audience that I felt like I needed to come up with some new stuff, I was doing at least 10 new minutes almost every month. Plus, you know, I'd throw in, you know, one that was already, you know, tight and ready. And just between that and Columbus open mics, I mean, I had realized back in like, I don't know, I think it was October or November when I was like, yo, I have, like, I'm going through my notes. I'm like, I have an hour of stuff that's like good and works. So then I came into some money, Sugar Mamas. Thank you. No, I won some money. Hot Hands in the Dice game. So then once I had that, I hit up my man Jay Cokes Media, and quoted me a pretty good reasonable price and set the date, did it, and sold it out as well, which that was like, you know, that was huge for me to, you know, have a sold out crowd. From I didn't want to have to like, you know, do like the Lord of the Rings thing of like CGIing people, you know, in the crowd. Like fill out what looked like 20 people, but you know, it was 20 people that looks like, you know, 200.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, had a sold out show. Actually, I also had a lot of comics come out too, which, you know, unfortunately, you know, comics, we do have a pretty bad reputation for kind of being a little, you know, self-centered and focusing only on us. So it was really refreshing to see, you know, I think it was like six or seven comics that like made the drive out from Columbus just to, you know, support one of their own. And yeah, I had family, friends, a couple of exes that I'm still like kind of cool with. And unfortunately, they were all at the after party. And I'm like, I hope they don't like start talking, because I don't want them confirming what parts of the special were either like about them or not true.
Bing bong.
Yeah, like there's a bit where I talk about, if you can imagine this, there's a bit in the stand-up comedy special where I talk about my penis, right? And yeah, I don't want them like saying like, yeah, what when you said it was like 5 inches, like, yeah, I wish I saw 5 inches, you know?
What?
Oh yeah, by the way, I should mention this. For those who don't know, it is a miracle if a white dude's dick is more than 5 inches. Like, like, I mean, yeah, like, it's a thing. It is a white not privilege. Happy February, everyone.
Did you how did you feel afterwards? I feel like a lean up to it could be a lot of stress. How did it feel like afterwards to like finally get your art out?
Oh yeah. As soon as I walked out and I cleared the room, like, again, it was the weight of the world off my shoulders. Even though, like, I wasn't worried about like covering like the finances of it, because it had already been basically pre-funded. But still, again, it was just that whole feeling of like, hey, I've been, you know, hitting like bars, clubs all over, not even just Ohio. We're talking like New England, Florida, Canada. Like, I've had this material all over, and that it finally gets to be out there. Like, yeah, it was a huge relief. We did a little after party thing, which if you watch the whole special, stick around. I put a post credit scene in there, because it worked for Marvel. So I'm like, it's going to work for the Destin Cinematic Universe. But at the end of it, there's myself and Jesse Pimpinella, who also a fantastic comic. And he was my opener for it. And afterwards, because he and his special Hot Mess, also available on all the same streaming services as mine, he talks about the life having like a CPAP mask, because he has sleep apnea. And I also have it. Because that's just what happens when you eat too much fast food. You get sleep apnea. So we had the full face mask, and I was like, we should do like a beer bong, but like out of the face mask. So we go out on like a back deck of the brewery that I recorded it at. And sorry, wait, comedy club. What am I talking about? Real deal comedy club. And so we're out on the back deck, and my dad he's pouring into like both masks at the same time. But unfortunately, the hoses were like 30 feet long. So like there's a solid 20 seconds you see us like having to like work the hose with like one hand and everything. And we finally get it in. And Jesse puked it immediately. Like the moment he puked all over Evan Cackley's shoes. Almost got some on Hannah Rome's. But yeah, it was a good time. Like I said, it was a huge party afterwards too. And it took a little bit in the editing. I mean, I think it took like 2 months, because I recorded it January 20th, I think. And then it came out. I released it on my mom's birthday, March 24th, because I'm cheap, and that was my birthday gift to her.
Hey, listen, you know, I show up on my mom's birthday. I'll be like, this is all you got, boo. Yeah. I don't know what else to tell you. You wanted a real one. Here you go.
Right.
Okay. So what's next for you? Like, are you planning another special, or are you just working on material so far when you go to Chicago, you can, you know, get your foot in the door?
Yeah. No, my plans currently, I am going to aim to shoot my next special in November of next year. So, I mean, this one will take half the time. And the thing is, it's so weird. I had that, I really coasted that wave off of releasing Grown Up, that like I quickly built a solid 20 like in months after that. And like, I mean, I'm already up to a pretty good like 35, 40 minutes. So by next November, it'll be another hour, hopefully, at the rate I go. But
why did you name it Grown Up?
I wanted it to, because it's mostly a story based work. Like, I don't have a lot of one liners in it. So it's more my, like, these are the stories that made me and have gotten me to this point in my life kind of thing. So it's a coming of age tale. And I named it Grown Up because also there's a pretty obvious pun right there. Because also I do love my puns. I sprinkle in some puns. So actually, that's a good tie into the next special because there's two big things of feedback I got from Grown Up. Was number one, they said they were like, you could have been blacker, which I'm like, I agree. Like, what do you think? This is the first thing I think every single morning I wake up. I'm just like, I look in the mirror, I'm like brushing my teeth. I'm just like, you could be blacker. Look down at my pants. You could definitely be blacker. but then the second one was they were like, we actually thought it would be punnier. And here's the truth. Here's the truth of the matter. I left 13 puns on the cutting room floor like the week of, out of mercy, because I didn't want to drive too many people away. So the fact that that was my first, my big feedback, that's where I got the stand-up, the name for my next special, which is You Ask for This. Because I am going to start out the next special with just 10 minutes of basically hate fucking the crowd with puns. Like nonstop, like every single, like I have some like real rapid fire stuff. And that's the thing. So like my first special was mostly stories. So this one will be shorter, like at most like your basic minute and a half bit. But yeah, it's going to be a lot more quick punch one-liner stuff. I have three stories at the end, obviously. And one of which is about my my dad, who just very recently is cancer free. He was diagnosed July of last year. That he just went to a doctor. They did all the rest. But yeah, it's fun. No, I'm kidding. It's not because also he was living with me. My parents lived with me this whole summer, and of course, I talk about that in the next one too. Yeah, they lived with me from early June, right before Halloween, and then they got a new house. And I mean, I was going to kick them out regardless because they didn't pay their rent. I'm like, I don't care. You out. Like, you got to go. So I tell the story, though, about like I was in the room when he got the official diagnosis and like how ways I could like cheer them up, you know, and address the situation. And, you know, comedy is pretty therapeutic as well. Like we're all a little, you know, dark and, you know, kind of messed up in a way that, you know, the way we handle trauma and tragedy and all that is sometimes we just, you know, make a joke and take the power away from it. But some people don't operate like that. Some people see that and they think that we're psychos, which maybe. But.
Yeah, no, you asked for this. Are you nervous that are you nervous of the reception since it's going to be like a different style? Or
well, a wise man once said, "Go ahead and switch your style up, and if they hate, watch them hate, and watch the money pile up." So that's what I'm doing. yeah, no, that's the thing. And I want to show people like, hey, I'm not a one trick pony. Like I want to show that I can do different styles. I can cover different materials. Like this one, it's going to naturally be darker. I mean, if I talk about my dad having cancer, yet it kind of has a darker vibe to the special, but it also like, again, at the beginning, it's some lighthearted stuff too. So like, you know, I try to take them through a roller coaster of like, you know, tone of styles itself, of lengths and all that. And and yeah, but I can't remember where that question was, but styles, that's right, because I had to drop some street knowledge.
No, you're totally fine. I don't even know how I'm getting through this.
Yeah. I was saying, my shower tequila I had before this isn't kicking in yet, so we'll
but see. I'm a lightweight, so
yeah,
I'm such a lightweight. I can get drunk off on one drink and be totally fine. And I don't this is my first time doing an interview drunk, but it's fun though.
I mean, yeah, oh, it is. It. Yeah, actually, pretty recently, I recorded one that we were just doing shots of tequila for 2 hours. And yeah, it ended up being a 2 hour episode. I had to like split it into like 1 hour, two different 1 hour segments.
I don't think I want people to see me like drunk like that.
Oh no, no, it was a good time. Also, I mean, I'm still not a lightweight, but I'm a shell of the drinker I once was. Because pre-COVID, I was 26, like right before COVID, 26 going on 27, and I had just went through.
Yeah, I'm older than you. How old are you?
30.
Dang, I didn't know I was older than you. I thought you were older than me.
Nope. It's just remember, white cracks. White cracks like a motherfucker.
No, you just act so mature. Like,
I mean, there's in a way, yes. In a way, yes. Like, no, I mean, I still love Pokemon. You know, I still drink Kool-Aid like it's you know, normal.
That's your inner. That doesn't make you immature. That's
inner child. Yeah. but no, I was gonna say when I was 26, though, I had just had like a really, really bad breakup. My ex and I at the time, we both decided we wanted to see other women, and she succeeded, unlike me. It would have been cool if she had told me that she was seeing other women, but. So anyway, I was horribly depressed after that because that was also like my first real relationship since like high school, and she had a kid too. Not my kid. I didn't fall for that trap, but no. And the thing is, by the end of it though, like I was mostly sticking around, you know, for the kid because you know he didn't nag me when I came home. You know, he was always supportive. He was always happy to see me. We liked the same cartoons, you know. He was right. It was the mom though; she was one of the problems. But no, after that split, you know, I was like really depressed, and I already drank quite a bit just socially. But that's when I like really started like pounding the bottle pretty hard. I was up to like maybe like a 6-pack of beer every day. I'd do roughly about the same in like mixed drinks at home. And then I would go out to bars and do either stand-up or karaoke. So, I mean, roughly I was drinking, by the end of the day, I was drinking maybe 8-9 beers a day and like 8 or 9 shots every day for a year. It was pretty rough on me. And I went to the doctor when I was 26, and he did some blood work. And it came back and he's like, hey, you have a dangerously high functioning liver. And I'm like, so that's probably not a good thing. He had me tell him exactly what my drinking habits were. And he said, at the rate you're going, you have a year left before your liver shuts down at 26. So that was what we call a wake up call. And then COVID happened when the whole rest of the world took to the bottle. I did the opposite. I actually got sober over COVID, and I lost 60 pounds. Like, so that's the thing. I got my shit together over COVID when, you know, everyone else didn't. And then, yeah, don't worry. I put on all that weight since then. Like, sheets.
That was hilarious. But, you know, I went through a bad breakup during COVID too.
Yeah.
Weight was up and down. I ain't drink. I don't. Drinking cool. I just drink socially. I did buy a bottle for this one because it's my birthday month. So, well, it was my birthday month when this drops. So that was that. But I don't really drink just because my dad's an alcoholic. I try not to be like him. But, I mean, I already smoked beforehand. But, yeah, no, I would have never thought that you went through that. I know that you... deal with depression sometimes, but I never would have thought like that. So that's why my reaction was that, because you're a very nice guy. You're a very, very nice guy. But no, I understand how heartbreak can make you deteriorate.
Yeah, that one, like I said, I was mostly the last year we things started going downhill because she told me like she wanted to have a kid, mm-hmm. and at that time I was 25, and I was like, you know, I just started comedy basically, and I was like, no, hey, I'm pursuing my dream already. Like financially, I was hurting at the time, so I was just like, you know, it'd be irresponsible to have a kid right now. And the problem, and like, cause her sister had just had a kid, so she had baby fever. And so I was like, well, I'm gonna let you sweat this baby fever out. And then we'll come back to this. And cause I basically put my dick on strike until she sweat out that fever. And then unfortunately that I started really drinking heavily then too. And that's when I found out like, hey, whiskey dick is real. Because then once I was like, all right, hey, I think we can start this up again, I couldn't start it up. So that was what got me to the doctor in the first place. I was like, hey, I'm like pretty freshly 26. I should not be having this right now.
Do you have a fear?
It was mostly alcohol related.
Do you have a fear that you miss your opportunity to have a child?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, it's because I'll applaud myself on this one for being responsible, making it to 30 without having a kid, which for Newark is fucking impossible. I am the 1% in Newark. Like that's all it takes to be in the top 1% in Newark is not have a kid, not be paying child support, having a job that gives you a W-2. Like that's it. That's all you had to be in the upper echelon. But now I'll say this. Now, honestly, I would say I'm almost ready to have a kid now. But unfortunately, I got to get texts back from women to make this kid thing happen. So, and I'm not getting those.
Yeah, man, that'd be my biggest fear right now. Like, I'll be like, man, I don't even know, because it's just different out there.
And, yeah.
I don't know, because I'm 33, so I'll be like, I mean, I don't think I can afford to have a kid, but I'll be like, dang, like, I'll just be like, dang, because now it's like, I'm so focused on comedy, so it's like, I know I want to have a kid, but it's like, when is that going to happen? Because then I too want to move to Chicago. And then it's like, when I get there, I don't want to start a new relationship and start something fresh where I'm doing something so totally new to me too. So it's like, I don't know when it's going to happen. Then it's like, I don't want to be a 40-year-old dad with a 1-year-old. Because then who am I going to be humping on? A 26-year-old? Because I'd rather have my own family. Like, not that there's anything wrong with a blended family, but that blended family shit is rough. And I'd rather not do that. So that's been my biggest fear lately.
Yeah, I as far as the blended family, again, like my dad was, technically he was like my adopted second stepdad, but he was there for me. Now you're in Newark.
Second stepdad.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, because my mom's first husband, aka first adopted stepdad, he died when I was 18 months. So like I just didn't know the guy, you know.
Okay.
So you know, the second stepdad, my mom did the unspeakable. She brought a guy out of the friend zone. And he's been my dad ever since. So like to think of him as something other than that, it is a little weird to me. But and that's where the Pittsburgh part of my life came in, because he's originally from Pittsburgh. So like they actually did a long distance thing initially for a solid year. So it was like every other, basically every weekend or every other weekend while they were dating, we were going to Pittsburgh. And then right around the time they got married and they settled on Newark, which wrong choice, but that's then when my grandpa in Pittsburgh, his health started declining. So it was right back on the road to Pittsburgh every other weekend. So yeah, I put in a lot of time when I was younger there, but yeah, the blended family though, so there was a chick I was hooking up with, and she slid back into my DMs after about a year or so break. And I was like, I was about to hit it, you know? And I remember I actually called it off for some reason. And I find out like 2 weeks later, she posts an ultrasound. And so I saw that. I was like, oh, she was trying to trap me. She was trying to let me hit it raw and then say that that kid was mine. Ain't mine.
Man, the closest I ever got was how I was doing this girl. Great girl, by the way. Definitely my type. 300 plus. I love it. Judge me. I don't care. I might end up with someone off my 600-pound life. You check that show out. They usually got a short dude by side them that's loyal. Short dudes are very loyal. But, like, she got... She got pregnant, but she ain't say nothing to me. So I was like, wait a minute. So I counted the months and I was like, bro, I missed it by a month. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. Cause I mean, I didn't hit it raw or nothing, but still it was a little worrisome. But and I remember she was like, I wish you could have been the baby dad. I was like, I know you wish I could have been a baby dad, but I wasn't the chosen one, boo, and I'm glad I wasn't. You know, I'll be like 30 something with like, I don't know how old, like a 9 year old or I don't know, something like that. And even though I want a kid, like I'm glad I don't have one because I always like pray, like I don't want to have one until I get myself all the way together. Cause I don't want my kid to be coming to no effed up world because I'm effed up, you know?
Yeah. Like, as I mentioned, like I was adopted. So like, I don't know, there is this like kind of this pressure I put on myself that's like, hey, I was already saved from a life I could have had. And I've seen like where my biological parents like grew up. They grew up in like this really like shitty part of Newark called Newark. No, they live in like the hood. And I was like, and I grew up in a pretty nice part of town. So like, you know, I was like, so I already had such a better life than I was supposed to have. And I was like, so I have to pay it forward. I have to keep the cycle going. So like if for me to have a kid, I want to know that I can give them a better life than I had. And I had a pretty good life. So there's the pressure. That's one of the reasons I started doing comedy was that I could get to a point where I could provide all the things that, and again, I had like 75% of things I wanted growing up. I was an only kid too, which should be obvious by my constant need for attention. That's why I do stand up. But you know, so like there's a high bar for me to go over, and that's one of the things that comedy will help me do someday.
Yeah, I was telling my friend I ran into this.
And it gets me high class pussy, so that's also, it's also very important.
I was telling my friend today at the store, I was like, yeah, I want to do it full time so I can just have my freedom of time. Like, yeah. I would love to watch my kids grow up. I was thinking about that. Like, we don't really get to watch our kids grow up because they go to school and then we come home, we cook, and remember how much time that we actually spend. So that's what I really want to do, get my freedom of time. That's really important to me. But as we start to wrap this interview up here, Destin, tell me who is on your Mount Rushmore for comedy.
My Mount Rushmore for comedy. So my GOAT will always be Eddie Murphy. Watching Raw, that's what like told me at 13. I'm like, hey, I want to be a comic, was watching Eddie Murphy in his bad leather suit. And then also my personal favorite is Doug Stanhope. I love how the guy just every ounce of him exudes this whole I don't care about fame, I'm just saying what I want to say kind of thing. And I have a dark sense of humor, and he's even I will like say like the guy's almost too dark for me at times. So that's when you know it's good. And then Chappelle, because also I grew up on Chappelle's Show. That was my stay up late at night. And you know, catch Chappelle's Show. And then now as far as my number four, I think I gotta go Robin Williams. Pay my respects to him too, because he's one of the more successful like comic actors. As I mean, he's also great at stand up too, and like great at improv. I mean, like, the fact that he was just riffing off and ad libbing a lot of the lines in his movies. But I also, I at some point, I want to get into doing TV and movie as well. And a large part of it was due to Robin. So
I can feel that. I can feel that. Who, what's your, real quick, what's your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Favorite Robin Williams movie? I do love Good Morning Vietnam. Once again, that's another, all of his radio bits was like proven that, like, hey, like this was just, we told Robin, hey, start and we'll stop you when we need to. Like everything was just, you know, right off the dome. So like I have so much respect for that. Then also, you know what, yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll stick with that one. Good Morning Vietnam, probably.
Dustin, what is a piece of advice you could give to any comedian that's listening to this right now?
Well, I already kind of sort of covered it, but it's when you, if you ever get on a show, promote it, promote everything, network. Also, you know, the classic, don't be afraid to bomb. It happens to everybody. So I've been told. It's never happened to me. I'm fucking king, you know. No, it happens. I don't bomb much, but when I do, I bomb so aggressively. And the trick is just, you know, learn from that bomb, right? Like, if you pass it up, then you've wasted it. There's something to take away from it. Also, yeah, just write a premise every day. Like, you don't have to write out a full-fledged joke. Just, like, jot an idea every day. Just one. And test them out. Get on stage. And before you know it, you'll have a stand-up special like Grown Up, which is available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Tidal, which technically makes me part of Rock Nation. Chicken Man. It's The Rock. No, and then yeah, so put in the time, promote your shit, and have fun doing it. Don't ever forget why you wanted to start.
Tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed.
Well, because you have the rich, luscious tones of one of the sexiest short kings in Columbus comedy right now, Mr. Ty Erskine. And he has a genuine curiosity about what makes people tick. He's also a great comic in his own right. And yeah, check out Comedians in Bed. He gets great people too. It took him entirely too long to get the King of Newark on here. I will say that there was a lot of fucking peasants that he put on before he put on the King, but freaking stay people with Netflix special. The weed.
That's to tell people where they can find you at, man.
So, I have to update it. I had a website, DestinRichardson.com. I'll get it working by then. Instagram at The Real Destin Richardson. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I have a bunch of videos. I put my podcast videos on there as well. Also, check out my podcast, The Destin Nation Podcast. Two words on destination. I have great conversations with comedians there. I especially recommend the episode with Mr. Ty Erskine. And yeah. Hit me up on Facebook. If you're a single woman, ages 18 to 59, send me nudes at 740-975-5933. Hit me up on Snapchat. I prefer ass shots over tits. I love some tits, but I'm an ass man. So let's see what else. Yeah, I think that's about it.
If you like this episode, man, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. We go live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Or you can subscribe. Or we're available wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want weekly clips, we post those on IG at Comedians in Bed Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining this week. We'd like to thank my man, Destin. And we'll see you guys next week. And first of all, Destin puts on amazing show. So check out his shows. Even if you're in Newark or if you're in the surrounding Newark area, make sure you check out this guy's show. He put out great sellout shows. Great sellout shows. See you guys next week.
Thanks again.